Your Locked On Golden Knights, your daily podcast on the Vegas Golden Knights, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
The Golden Knights lose 7-4 in a pond hockey game to Edmonton on Tuesday night. Playoff clincher will have to wait. Hi again, everyone. I am Tony Cardasco, along with Chris Golic. We come to you each and every day from Las Vegas. And you can find us on Twitter at Tony Dasco, at TD Chris G, at Lockdown VGK, and on YouTube, Lockdown Golden Knights. Please subscribe there. We are brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. So, Chris, wouldn't Robin Leonard be proud? He probably would have called this a pond hockey game last night. Very sloppy. It was a real bad loss, I felt, for the VGK. Edmonton scoring on three power plays last night. Evan Bouchard, Leon Draisaitl, and Zach Hyman. And the precision of their power play unit is something to behold, truly.
Did you really just give me a reason to click the Robin Leonard box when I do the playlists on YouTube for later?
Yes.
So, I mean, the Edmonton power play, it's remarkable. And I think there's an oversight. So, like, listening to the post game last night, what you got to do, what went wrong in the game was the highlight with Ryan Wallace. Everyone talking, you can't put Edmonton on the power play. Obviously, Coach Cassidy.
Wait. Was it bad ice? Was it due to the fact?
No narratives. No, it was fine in that regard. But I think the mindsets was a little bit foul after the game because teams are going to get power plays. It's going to happen. It's just how it goes. Now, the advantage is usually there's less called in the playoffs. But my ultimate first point here is you have to stop the power play. You can't be scared to play your game differently because Edmonton's pretty good 5-on-5 too. That's the thing. So, yes, it is a all-world power play. It is so much fun to watch. I got a still shot of their third goal where I just had my camera kind of fixed over the, you know, over the blue line, just watching it. I mean, and they're just in awe the whole time. They don't panic. They don't rush. They don't do anything that doesn't give them a better chance to score where, you know, VGK had some good puck movement last night, but, you know, there are also times they're just kind of rushing, dumping in the corner, hoping they go and get it. And, you know, you got to find a way to stop the power play, not prevent the power play, because there's going to be power plays. It's hockey. It's how it goes.
Yeah. And Bruce Cassidy, after the game, felt that his team got caught up playing Edmonton's game last night because he said there's only like one Edmonton. In other words, they are just explosive offensively. And VGK really did try to play that back and forth game, and that's just not going to work. In the playoffs, I think they learned a big lesson last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Mike Tyson perspective does not work in a game like this. Mike Tyson jokes, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? Well, VGK got punched in the mouth a few times, and they tried to, you know, drop the gloves. They were not physical at all last night, but they tried to match stride for stride. And that's not how you're going to beat the Edmonton Oilers. You got to slow down the neutral zone. Edmonton slowed a neutral zone down last night. VGK did not have a lot of clean breakouts. There's one thing, and this was kind of the question that I hit up with Cassidy. If there was a positive in the first period and even Amadio's game tying goal in the second period, it was a result of successful board play. I thought Barbashev had a remarkable job creating a turnover. Marchie gets the puck in tight, 1-0 Vegas. You're thinking good things are going to happen. William Karlsson did have an outstanding shorthanded goal last night. Good check on the boards, comes in, finish it off. I think he actually meant to shoot the puck. Like, he actually did everything he meant to do there. So you got to give Karlsson credit there. And then Amadio, right place, right time as a result of a good board play. So, you know, that was the positive, but not enough of that.
So I go to the Orleans Arena last night. You might have seen I posted a photo on Twitter. Anderson Hunt from the national championship UNLV Running Rebel basketball team sits next to me last night, comes in carrying a jersey, and it is a William Karlsson jersey. So I took a photo of Anderson and the Karlsson jersey, And I go, why do you have that jersey? He stinks. That's what I said to him. But I did. But I did pick.
Carlson had a goal last night.
Okay. But I did say Edmonton was, I was highly scrutinized on Twitter because I said that the Oilers would score seven goals. I said that they would score seven goals last night. And people were like, why are you so negative? I could see this coming. And
you called it. Good job.
Quick is not good against Edmonton. He's just not good.
Disagree. Go look at his playoff log last year.
Okay, so last year, yes. But in the, look at his past against him. He's not very good. And he's going to give up a ton of goals. And again, that quick factor is to bet the over. Bet the over.
So that's fair. Again, that's fair. No argument again, there.
Again, VGK loses another game following a successful road trip. That's part of the narrative here that I think that we have to look into the game against the Rangers. When you look back, I mean, there's several times this season where they just come home and lay an egg. And even they even had more time than Edmonton to recuperate.
That's not a VGK narrative, though. That's the thing. That is a hockey and basketball narrative to a degree, even baseball, too. But more or less,
well, that's why I was tying the two together. Yeah. Anderson, Hunt, and Carlson, you know, basketball and hockey. Yeah.
They're perfect. Good job, Tony. Good job. So, you know, it happens. And it was never brought up last night as to, you know, why it still happens. But, you know, again, it's distractions when you're at home, I guess. You know, there's family. It's life doesn't stop just because they're professional athletes. You know, they're going to spend time with their family. They're going to do stuff around the house, you know, catch up, whatever it is that that you do, you know, when you're gone on the road for a few days. And it does come with the weights. So, you know, I mean, listen, what VGK won four games, right? Columbus and then the three-game road trip. So four-game winning streak late in the season. They'd only lost, I think, what, twice or three times in regulation prior to last night's since the All-Star break. Since
All-Star break, yeah.
Big picture, we're not going to overthink this a whole lot. And I think you can take a lot more. Like, this isn't a burn-the-tape situation and flush it and move on. There is a lot to take and a lot of takeaways, more from the maybe mental side than actually watching the game and say, oh, here's where we went wrong. Here's what happened. But, you know, let's remind everybody, because apparently everyone's flipping out again. VGK has a 2-point lead. LA Kings lost last night. Thank you for that.
Boston lost.
Boston lost to Nashville. And here's the other thing, like everyone, oh, we didn't clinch last night. Nashville, how dare Boston let this happen? Folks, you want Nashville to do very well. I would much rather face Nashville, assuming VGK holds on to the one seed. I'd much rather face Nashville versus Calgary or versus Winnipeg. Yeah. Nashville sold out the deadline.
They're fading. Winnipeg's fading.
Winnipeg's fading, but they still got Connor Hellebuyck.
I know you're concerned about that. Okay, so you were in the room last night. I could not gauge the mood of Cassidy last night following the game. And thanks for getting that shout out for Locked On Golden Knights in there. Love that. So this is the type of game perhaps that we could see in the playoffs. But you asked the question, talk about the question that you posed of Cassidy about VGK and the fact that, you know, they played pretty well on the two goals with their board work. And they really did, especially that first goal.
Yeah, I mean, Cassidy, how many times throughout the season has mentioned win your battles, board battles, win your races. Two of the goals, like in all three of the goals, actually, I didn't fully catch the Amadio goal. So Cassidy actually, first he asked me to explain a little more on the question.
Well, I understood your question, then, by the way. I understood your question. You were, no, it was not on you.
Oh, no, it's fine. But once I said it, he went right to it. And then he kind of said, oh, yeah, the third goal too.
He was in a weird mood, man. I'm sorry.
Self-admittedly, I actually didn't catch the first goal in time. So my buddy actually got to crank the siren between the first and second, my good buddy William Conlin, who gives a lot of great comments on the show. So I actually was able to catch him doing the siren. Then I got to go downstairs and upstairs and around because I can't take a shortcut and whatever, long story short. But so, yeah, just more about the board work, more about, you know, I wanted to see if Cassidy would take that in the sense that this is how you beat this team. You got to beat them on the boards. You got to slow the game down. You got to avoid the track meet type scenario. And again, back to this isn't a spot where, you know, you drop the gloves and try and go pound for pound with them. You know, if you try and, you know, match punch for punch with Edmonton, you're going to lose. And credit Edmonton. They won a big game in a big situation. after playing a back-to-back and that weird quirky schedule that, you know, we were joking about for the last 2 weeks, it feels like now, give Edmonton credit. You know, can they sustain this type of, you know, situation? I'll argue that Edmonton, you know, might not be there yet, but maybe they are going to be there. Maybe they are there. Maybe they're not there. Who knows? But good job, Edmonton. VGK, you know, the bigger question is, did VGK beat themselves this game, or did Edmonton come in and, you know, win the game? And I think you can take a little bit of both off that. I really do.
Yeah.
I think VGK got in their own way a lot more, is what I'm trying to say.
They surely did. And Cassidy, though, did give Edmonton a ton of credit for the way that they were finishing plays, but three power play goals, that should not happen. Shea Theodore was injured in this game.
No idea.
Yeah, no
so
idea.
So it was brought up. Ben Gotts asked him.
I know nothing.
That's pretty much
what should have said. Yeah.
The comment was he's getting checked out. He had to come out. I think the quote was he had to come out. So was that a concussion spotter situation? Oh. Usually, if it's a concussion spotter situation, you can point to a player like, "Whoa, okay, here's what's happening." But I don't like we're all talking after the game on the elevator, and we're like, "Did you see it? No. Did you see it? No. There's nothing." So that's maybe more concerning that it's a leg of some sort. You know, I don't know. Also, let's be fair about this. It's a 6-3 game going to the third period. It could have been just something. Hey, something just feels a little strange. Let's look at this and let's move forward.
Shut him down. Yeah.
I think it could be more of that personally, and he'll be fine. You know, we'll see. Alec Martinez, who was unable to play in Saturday's game in Edmonton, he got undressed by Leon Draisaitl on Evander Kane's goal. Oh, my God. That was the turnstile right there. That was when you watch that happen in real time, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And last night, Edmonton's 11-7 structure paid off for them. No.
It's just more shifts for McDavid and Draisaitl.
Exactly. I know, and they're like a machine, and you can't get them started, and that's going to be a very dangerous team, I still say. And they'll win those 7-4, 7-5 games.
Well, that's the thing. That's not playoff hockey, though. Playoff hockey is not 7-4, 7-5 hockey.
Is it pond hockey playoff style, perhaps?
It's not even pond hockey. It's not beer league hockey. It's good hockey. It's great hockey, and there's not a lot of 7-4, 7-5 type games, and there's also less power plays. That's the thing. Credit Rita, who follows our show and calls in every post game. She's amazing to listen to.
She rips me. You like her because she rips me.
She's fun. She's fun.
She's awesome.
I mean, people that rip you, I love, actually.
I like her too. I don't mind.
No, but Rita, amazing comments that she brings every time in the post game. And, you know, she's the one who said it. In the playoffs, there's less power plays called. It's a great comment. You don't need to be a sports journalist to, you know, have a perspective like that. I thought it was brilliant, actually.
Okay, so Jonathan Marchessault, 2 goals last night. Marchessault madness continues for at least another couple of days. But I also wanted to ask you, you were there last night observing the game. So was it more on the VGK defense last night, or was it on Jonathan Quick?
No, I'm not going too hard on Quick. I mean, you know, Quick did not have a great game. I mean, we're not gonna say, oh, Quick was bailing the team out by any means. I thought Quick made some really good saves.
That paddle save was pretty cool.
Some weird spots too. Don't get me wrong. What's that?
That paddle save was pretty impressive.
Sure, but why did it happen like that? Because he got himself way out of position. Which we were joking. That's vintage Jonathan Quick right there. Unfortunately, the power play goal literally came as I was typing up. That was an amazing save. WTF, I couldn't keep up my tweets in the first period. We'll talk about that on Friday, I guess. Okay. So Jonathan Quick, the game was not on Jonathan Quick. He'll take part of it. I mean, you know, we'll take Cassidy's comments. He'll say the fourth, you know, he didn't like the fourth goal. Quick will tell you the same thing. But outside of that, I mean, you look at the three power play goals. Like, it's not like these are, you know, okay, maybe the first power play goal, maybe he could have done better fighting through the screen. Okay, fine, whatever. But the other two power play goals, you watch that passing. Robin Leonard might save it because he can't get across the net as fast, okay? He might have still been on the other side. There you go, Tony. So Quick was okay. Quick didn't lose the game for the team. He didn't give him necessarily the chance to win that he should as a starting goalie, but it could have gone a little better.
Coming up next, VGK All-Star Chandler Stephenson is continuing to struggle And Chris will give us some of his observations as he was there last night covering the game. We'll talk about Chandler Stephenson and all of that when we return right here on Locked On Golden Knights. We've got the Final Four in college basketball coming up. And, of course, now is the perfect time to download FanDuel. It is America's number one sports book because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to the point scores to three-pointers drained. And there's so many more exclusive bets that you could take, like the 2x3, 2 3-pointers scored within the first 3 minutes of play. Plus, FanDuel lets you even continue your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn a lot more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the National Basketball Association. Welcome back to Locked On Golden Knights. Tony Cardasco and Chris Golic. I am the other guy, and you could find us on Twitter at Locked On VGK, and definitely follow TD Chris G, because very entertaining, especially when he's up in the press box like he was last night. And don't forget to go to our YouTube channel and please subscribe there. So, Chris, Chandler Stephenson, we just mentioned him right before the break. One goal in the last 10 games, that was against Tampa back on March the 8th. In 23 games since the All-Star break, just a pair of goals. And what's happening with Stephenson? You had a chance to watch him up close last night, and I just want to get some of your observations because it's a player that they're desperately going to need. Is it a fact, you know, that once they moved him to that third line, that maybe he lost some confidence or he's getting fewer shifts? Or what's the issue currently with Chandler Stephenson? Why is he not scoring goals?
It's everything. He had two dynamite chances where I believe he missed the net on both of them last night, or one he might have fanned a little bit on. Give me 1 second, take a hit here.
Yeah, take a hit of coffee there.
Yeah, no, we're getting better. We're better. We're a lot better than we've been. So he just does not look like himself. He's not as fast right now. He just doesn't look the parts. And it's strange because I was looking at the stats as you were saying him as well since the All-Star break. And what is that? I can't see it.
Okay.
No, the fog.
It says it's rigged. Rigged, I tell you. And they put... Oh, my gosh. This is funny. It's VGK fan 702. Pretty good stuff.
I just retweeted it at
Tony Dasco. You'll see it. It's funny.
Gotcha. Fair enough. So already hitting you at 7 in the morning. I love it. So he just doesn't look himself. And the third line is more of a not checking line situation, but you're going to play more in your defensive zone. And that's not who Chandler Stephenson is. Chandler Stephenson is a top six forward. You know, he's had success as a center. He's had success around Jack Eichel and Mark Stone. Outside of that, there's not been a lot of success right now. So you have him with Nick Waugh and Phil Kessel, and that line's been doing okay. So maybe you take the good with the bad, so to speak, there. All the way around, Nick Waugh's been in the middle of that line now. But you know, you take the good with the bad, and he's just having a hard time finding his game right now. And it's not even a snake-bitten thing last night, because, yes, he had a couple chances last night. But you don't see him, like when you're watching the games, he's not a difference maker. You know, sometimes players don't have a game that's noticeable on the score sheets, but they're out there creating opportunities. They're in front, whatever it is. And Stephenson's just kind of there. There's times he's just passing to places where no one is, and he's having a hard time adjusting to whatever his new role is. And if there's something maybe I could take back from a last night's game, I wish I could have asked a question about Stephenson and just asked a coach to, you know, quickly summarize how he's been on that line and how things are going. And I wonder if we would have got a little too much honesty, if you will, out of Cassidy.
Right.
And all of a sudden, So he was the MVP, right? Tony, right? You loved Stephenson for last season. Sure. And we definitely should. And he was okay in the start of this season. And for whatever's happened, I don't know if there's an injury, I don't know if it's personal, I don't know if it's just a product of someone who's struggling in the new system, but we need Chandler to step up right now, big time.
For the record, your question to Cassidy was crystal clear, and he wanted to answer that in the PC manner. I'm positive, because I watched that. I watched it actually twice, because he was processing your question and saying, okay, how do I say this without starting to really rip some of the guys on my team? Stevenson, is he out of position? And what do you do to get his confidence back? Could they, as soon as they have the clincher and everything else and everything set, kind of toy around just to see if he could play better, move him to another line, do something else with him? What do you think the answer could be? Because, again, you have to go back to Cassidy saying that he feels like the top two lines typically negate themselves. And then the bottom six will be the difference makers. And you're going to need Chandler Stevenson in the playoffs.
And Chandler Stevenson in the bottom six, that sounds glorious.
Right.
Like that sounds really great. Sounds like a deep stacked line. And you almost wonder if there's a world that exists where somehow line three, when Mark Stone is able to make some type of return, is there a world where line three is some combination of Stevenson, Stone, and Wah? You have this crazy line four where Kessel's down there. Who knows? I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but you know, that world might exist, and that could obviously Mark Stone fixes a lot of problems in a lot of lineups. So, you know, sure, you're going to want to move Stevenson around. You need his confidence. He's done remarkable things for this team since he's came, and that needs to continue.
Yeah. 13 goals, 42 assists, 55 points on the season, which is, you know, a pretty decent season, but he really slowed down, as we mentioned, the last
23 games. He's got 80% of those numbers before the All-Star break, though, right?
Yeah. Two goals in 23 games, and I think two or three helpers maybe. But again, and you pointed out, he's just not visible. Does he need to be? Does he need to be visible, though?
Yes.
If everything else is working and everyone else is contributing, do you still need to have Chandler Stevenson scoring goals in the playoffs?
Absolutely. I mean, you need – listen, people are going to take turns, right? You know, because there's not going to be a lot of these 7-5 games and stuff like that. So – you know, in a 7-game, you know, playoff series, assuming it goes the distance, a team might score 25 goals, and you know, no one on the team may have more than 3 goals in the playoff series. That's just how it works sometimes. So Chandler's going to need to do his part, and it's not lack of efforts. It's just, you know, weird things happen, and you know, it's the snake bitten thing almost again. If it keeps going, I'm going to have to ask him about it next time I see him.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up next, we'll talk about VGK's plan, perhaps, for goalie usage in the future here, down the stretch. We'll get to that when we return right here on Locked On Golden Knights. Welcome back to Locked On Golden Knights. Tony Cardasco and Chris Golic from Las Vegas. You can find us every day wherever you get your podcast. And please subscribe to the Locked On Golden Knights YouTube channel. And I really do. I honestly, Chris, appreciate all of those comments on Twitter. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I get ripped. Carlson scores a goal. Everything goes berserk.
The meme came back last night. I saw it. The meme came back.
Somebody, how do you get that meme? I think it's so creative. We've got some of the best friends of the program and VGK fans, and they're very passionate, and that's terrific. And so
it's fun. It's so much fun.
It is so much fun. But I did get, like, I felt very small before the game because I said the final would be 7-5, and everyone was ripping me. There's no way they're going to score 7. Why are you so negative? I wasn't being negative. I was just trying to be honest. I just could see something like this coming. Okay. And again, coming off the road really concerns me.
So did the odds makers. Cost me $100.
Oh, wow. So wait. So what did the line close at last night?
Didn't move. Edmonton minus 120, VGK even money up until like a half hour puck drop. I didn't look after that.
Edmonton was the favorite in the game.
Yes.
Wow. They closed at minus 120. Interesting. Wow. That's a pretty interesting move. So we want to talk about what else? VGK's goalie carousel. And so now, is this going to be up next? And it's so rigged because VGK can find themselves getting better because they play against the lowly Sharks next. The schedule maker, a.k.a. Foley, it's just so rigged. It's rigged, okay? Laurent Brossoit's game, that's coming up next, right?
Yeah, so Cassidy gave some clues in the postgame. So he had a gentleman from the AP, I didn't catch his name, He asked about Mark the goalie Anderson. Situation.
Mark Is Anderson, there a plan? I think.
Okay, yeah. Is Mark. There a plan, Cassidy? Yep. Not going to tell you, but yep.
That was
and then, that was it. Or no, it was basically Cassidy said, yep, there's a plan. And then like an awkward silence, like all the local guys were chuckling at each other because they knew what was coming next. And so what was his name you said?
Mark Anderson.
Yeah, so Mark asked a follow-up. He's like, can you elaborate a little bit? And Cassidy was kind of like, well, there's a plan, you know. And the plan involves two guys, basically, which is going to be Quick and Brossoit. And then the wild card is LT, if he can get back on the ice and skate. So reading between the comments, it sounds like, reading between the lines, pardon me, it sounds like LT dodged a catastrophic situation. I do buy in the fact that there is hope LT is going to possibly have an opportunity to make it back as soon as the regular, even before the end of the regular season. So let's knock on wood that we'll have a chance at least to see if we have a healthy Logan Thompson to return. Otherwise, the work is split between Quick and Brossoit. Now, Cassie did mention it's nice, you know, you possibly have four healthy goalies heading into the playoffs, going back to Aiden Hill possibly making
He didn't even, someone pointed out on our Twitter feed, Cassidy again does not even mention Aiden Hill.
Which is why he said maybe four goalies.
He refused.
No, there's something, strange there right now.
Yeah, and him and Hill.
You know, it's, we'll see how this whole thing shakes out. I did mention in the show, I was hoping they were going to go back-to-back with Brossoit. You know what you have in Jonathan Quick right now. You know, you don't, he doesn't need to prove anything. We need to see what Brossoit has. And I was even more surprised to see him see Quick get pulled at that point. Just let Quick finish the game. The plan is to get Brossoit back in there on Thursday. If you want to give him the space, you know, just don't bring him in. And
no,
unfortunately,
don't you feel that Brossoit needs the repetitions?
I feel he should have started the game. Yeah. Me and Mark Spector, Mark Spector, good guy. He's Edmonton's reporter from Sportsnet. And we were sitting right next to each other in the booth yesterday. And he was a joy to talk to the whole time. Just an absolute gem to listen to and get his perspectives and everything. And I forgot who made the quote. I got to look this up. But he said, there's two places you never do a drop pass in the NHL. Home and away. That was my funny takeaway from my convos with him, but you know, super fun to take his perspectives in the game and everything.
Yeah, very cool. And Ray Ferraro last night, Ferraro said Jonathan Quick looked a little bit behind the play all night long. He really,
I wish I would have said hi to Ray Ferraro. He was in the dining room with me. I should have said hi to him. I have a little bit of regret. Yeah. I like Ray Ferraro.
He minced no words, though. And again, you know, I'm still concerned about Quick. I'm still concerned about the goaltending situation, period. And I don't even know if LT is going to be the answer when he comes back, if he's going to be 100%. If he returns, how is he going to react in the playoffs? These are mega questions. Goaltending still.
This feels like a prime VGK season. It's March 29th and we got goalie issues. I love it.
I'm still concerned, though. Are you? Are you at all? You don't seem the least bit concerned or phased
Our
about
defense.
This.
The defense, Tony. Listen, they had a bad game last night. The defense was unable to slow down the train, the machine, if you will, of the Edmonton power play. Okay, fine. You know, tip your cap, good game, they win, move forward. But the VGK defense has been just fine for most of the season, especially when healthy. This was probably their worst defensive efforts. Actually, technically the Flames game, but still, this was, you know, a poor effort. You're going to have these games, and you'll take some comfort when you look back at the season as from a totality perspective, how this team has played with their top six, without their top six. With their top six, life is good. They can beat any team, any night. They can suffocate them and put up three goals and win. You know, if they need to score four or five goals to win, they can also do that. They have that gear. So let's not think too far ahead of ourselves. Now, Shea Theodore, these weird mystery injury situations. Let's hope this was just a precautionary move. We're down three goals. Get out. Go get looked at. Let's make sure there's nothing big. Get you back on the ice on Thursday or minimize whatever the issue is, get you back on the ice as quick as possible. If he suffered something that's going to keep him out long term through the playoffs, now we got a concern. Ben Hutton, awesome dude, but you know, he's far behind the other six forwards that we have. I'd even put him behind Miramanov's game, But with the, I don't know if we'll see Miramanov back up or not. I don't know how that works at this point in the season.
Yeah, so they need to get healthy now. That's a big concern. Get everyone back on the ice, and they have a game where they
and they're still be able damaged. To... Like we haven't talked about Will Carrier, Mark Stone, Riley Smith. Like that's you know, Aiden Hill.
What's Carrier doing other than building houses? Is he going to be?
That's why we hope he's going to be back soon. I don't know.
He's got to be back on the ice pretty soon. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Tomorrow we will have a preview. I don't even know if that's going to be a fun show. San Jose Sharks. They have the banner.
Just predict that the Sharks are going to win, Tony, and they'll be fine.
Are they gonna hang the banner tomorrow night for knocking VGK out of the playoffs last year? Does that happen tomorrow night?
You know the Sharks are going to want to. Hey, Matt Savage, if you're listening, you said you're going to check out the show. You're a big Sharks fan, so we'll get your take tomorrow. We'll see how you feel about the show.
All right. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Make sure that you check out the YouTube channel, Locked On Golden Knights. Follow us on Twitter, especially at TD Chris G. I am at Tony Dasco, at Lockdown VGK, from my man Chris Golic. Tony Cardasco, so long from now, for now, from Las Vegas. We appreciate you tuning in. See you tomorrow right here on Lockdown Golden Knights.